Welcome back to the show. We have got a packed, heavily Detroit-centric slate today, which means we have equal parts anxiety and cautious optimism to sort through.
Mostly anxiety, let's be totally honest. Between the diamond and the hardwood, the rebuilds and retools are either stalling out or about to hit the hyperdrive button in a way that could alter these franchises for the next decade.
Absolutely. We are going to spend a significant chunk of time today dissecting the Detroit Tigers' bizarre start to the 2026 season. You have an 8-1 surge over the last 9 games, completely masking some genuinely terrifying underlying numbers, especially from the pitching staff.
It really is a Jekyll and Hyde situation. And speaking of altering a franchise, we have to talk about the Detroit Pistons. The rumors are getting incredibly loud about a massive win-now swing for Brooklyn's Mikhail Porter Jr., which would completely reshape their timeline and cost them some serious young talent.
We will also touch on some hockey and college football later on in the roundup, looking at the Red Wings' free agency targets and Pat Fitzgerald's early moves at Michigan State. But let's start at Comerica Park. Let's start with the Detroit Tigers. The headline from KVUE really captures the panic right now. Nightmare. Tigers' fundamentals crumble. Detroit defense, offense, and pitching all struggle. As of April 22nd, 2026, they are sitting at a 12-11 record, which puts them second in the American League Central. But that record is doing an unbelievable amount of heavy lifting to mask what has been a truly bizarre first month of baseball.
Bizarre is the exact right word. You look at that 12-11 record, and it feels perfectly fine on the surface. But how they got to that point is giving the fan base whiplash. They opened the season in an absolute tailspin, going 4-9 right out of the gate. The pitching was bleeding runs, the bats were completely silent, and the defense looked completely lost. Then, suddenly, they flip a switch and win 8 of their next 9 games. The overarching question right now is which version of this team is the real one. If you look at the underlying metrics, they suggest the 4-9 team might be closer to reality if they do not immediately fix their pitching command. Let's look at the numbers for Jack Flaherty. Through his first 5 starts of the year, he has walked 20 batters in just 23 1/3 innings. That is an astonishing lack of control for a guy who is supposed to be a stabilizer. To put that in perspective, during the entire 2024 season, he walked 19 batters in over 106 innings. He has already surpassed his 2024 walk total in roughly a fifth of the innings. That is a staggering drop-off in command. You cannot survive in the major leagues walking nearly a batter an inning. And the scary part is that he isn't the only one struggling on the mound. Free agent signing Drew Anderson has been getting absolutely hammered. Through his first 11 1/3 innings, Anderson has posted a 7.94 ERA and a 1.68 WHIP. When your key rotation pieces and bullpen additions are putting that many runners on base, you are playing with fire. You simply cannot sustain an 8-1 run when you are constantly pitching out of self-inflicted jams. Exactly. And let's remember the broader context here. The Tigers entered this 2026 season with massive expectations. They are coming off back-to-back playoff appearances. The front office went out and made massive offseason additions, bringing in Framber Valdez and bringing back a legend in Justin Verlander. They pushed the chips in to make a serious division title run, and instead, they are relying on fumes, luck, and late-game heroics just to stay above the 500 mark. The Justin Verlander piece of this puzzle is critical. He has been injured, and his absence has left a massive void in that rotation. When you build a pitching staff around veterans like Verlander and Valdez, you need stability. Right now, Flaherty is supposed to be the bridge holding things together, and instead, he is a massive liability. The team has pointed to external factors for the slow start. They had a brutally cold opening week, and the schedule was incredibly road-heavy. But weather and travel do not explain walking 20 guys in 23 innings.
It really doesn't. You can't blame the thermometer for missing the strike zone by 2 feet. Now, in the interest of fairness, it hasn't been a complete disaster across the board. The lineup has had some genuine bright spots, particularly from the young guys. Rookie Kevin McGonigal and Colt Keith have been highlighted as early season standouts. they are putting together professional at-bats, getting on base, and providing a real spark while some of the veteran hitters try to find their timing.
Which is a fantastic sign for the long-term health of the organization. But if you are trying to win the AL Central this year, you cannot rely entirely on a rookie and a second-year player to carry the offense. The fundamental issue remains the run prevention. The KVUE piece explicitly calls out the crumbling fundamentals, defense and pitching. If you are giving up free passes at the current rate, the defense is standing around, getting cold, losing focus, and eventually making costly errors.
The entire discussion really centers on sustainability. Is this recent 8-1 surge a sign that they've shaken off the cold weather, adjusted to the travel, and found their groove? Or is it a dead cat bounce against a soft part of the schedule? Because if Flaherty doesn't find his release point, and if Anderson continues to post an ERA hovering near 8, that starting rotation is going to tax the bullpen to the point of total exhaustion by the time we hit June.
They desperately need Justin Verlander back on the mound. Not just for the innings he eats, but for the stabilizing veteran presence he brings to the clubhouse. Until then, they are walking a very thin tightrope. A 12-11 record is fine for April, but the underlying foundation looks incredibly shaky. They need to clean up the walks, tighten the defense behind the pitchers, and hope the veterans in the lineup start matching the production they are getting from McGonagall and Keith.
Let's pivot from the diamond to the hardwood, where the Detroit Pistons are reportedly looking to make a massive, potentially franchise-altering splash. A new report from Heavy.com is titled, Pistons Predicted to Trade for Major Star This Offseason. And that star is Brooklyn Nets forward Michael Porter Jr. According to multiple reports, the Pistons front office has a very strong interest in acquiring him to fundamentally reshape their offense around their franchise cornerstone, Cade Cunningham.
This is exactly the kind of rumor that signals a total shift in franchise philosophy. For years now, the Pistons have been methodically building through the draft, accumulating young talent, taking their lumps, and trying to organically grow into a contender. But this hypothetical trade framework is a pure win-now blockbuster. Heavy.com outlines a package where Detroit would send Ron Holland II, Isaiah Stewart, Caris LeVert, and a 2026 first-round pick to Brooklyn in exchange for Porter. That is an incredibly hefty price tag. You are giving up a very promising young prospect in Ron Holland, a foundational defensive piece and locker room leader in Isaiah Stewart, a solid veteran contributor in LeVert, and future draft capital. The logic, of course, is that the Pistons desperately need a consistent secondary scoring option and an elite floor spacer. Cade Cunningham has developed into a legitimate star, but he needs room to operate, and right now, the paint is just too crowded. He absolutely needs that room. Analysts have been pointing out for 2 years that the spacing around Cunningham is severely lacking. Opposing defenses just pack the paint. You bring in Michael Porter Jr., and suddenly you have a 6'10" forward who is a career knockdown shooter from deep. Defenders absolutely cannot leave him on the perimeter, which opens up the driving lanes for Cade. Offensively, the fit is spectacular, but you really have to weigh that against what you are losing on the other end of the floor. Right. The defensive limitations of Michael Porter Jr. are incredibly well documented. He has improved over the years, sure, but he is not Isaiah Stewart. You are trading away physical, tough, tone-setting interior defense for perimeter shooting. And then there was the financial aspect of this deal. Porter is in the mid-$30 million salary range, and his contract expires after the 2026-27 season. So you are taking on a massive cap hit for a player who could theoretically walk away in free agency in a year. And we haven't even mentioned the giant elephant in the room, which is the injury history. Porter has had multiple major back surgeries in his career. While he has been relatively healthy recently, that risk never fully goes away for a player with his specific medical profile. Giving up a blue-chip prospect like Holland and a valuable future first-round pick for a guy with a scary medical chart and only 1 year left on his deal is a massive gamble for any front office. It all comes down to how the front office views their current competitive window. The context here is that they clearly want to transition from being a fun, competitive young team into a legitimate Eastern Conference title contender. They feel they have the superstar engine in Cade Cunningham, but they know they don't have the premium co-pilot.
Is Michael Porter Jr. the right co-pilot? Or is this a panic move that disrupts the chemistry and development of the young core they spent years building?
That is the exact debate happening in the front office right now, and it's the debate dividing the fan base. If you make this trade, you are putting all your chips on the table for the 2026-27 season. You are betting that a core of Cunningham and Porter, surrounded by whatever veteran depth you can afford, is enough to make a deep playoff run. If it fails, or if Porter's back flares up, you have mortgaged your future, specifically Ron Holland and that 2026 pick, for absolutely nothing. I think the inclusion of Ron Holland is what makes this a really tough pill to swallow. He has shown flashes of incredible athletic potential, but in the modern NBA, potential doesn't win playoff series. Elite shooting and proven scoring do. It is the classic dilemma of team building. At some point, you have to consolidate your assets into a proven star. The question is just whether Michael Porter Jr., with all his baggage, is the star worth consolidating for. It is going to be a fascinating offseason to watch unfold. If they pull the trigger on this, the expectations for the Pistons immediately skyrocket. They go from a team hoping to make some noise and maybe win a play-in game to a team that absolutely has to deliver in the postseason. We will see if the front office has the nerve to make the call.
All right, before we get out of here, let's hit a few more stories real quick in the roundup.
Let's do it. We have got some interesting movement on the ice with free agency approaching and some early clarity on the gridiron as spring ball wraps up.
Over in the NHL, Heavy.com is reporting the Detroit Red Wings might be eyeing a solution for their blue line hole. San Jose Sharks defenseman Mario Ferraro is set to become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. He's 27 years old, currently making $3.25 million a year, and the Wings are reportedly looking at him as a steady veteran presence to pair with their younger guys, specifically someone like Axel Sandin-Palicka.
The fit makes a lot of sense defensively, but the contract demands might be the major sticking point here. Reports indicate Ferraro wants a long-term deal of 4 years or more, while the Sharks have only offered shorter-term extensions. The Red Wings really need a top-four right-shot defenseman. And while Ferraro is steady, giving a four-plus-year deal to a bottom-pairing guy might clog up the pipeline for their developing prospects.
Finally, heading over to East Lansing, 247 Sports is covering Michigan State's early quarterback decision. Head coach Pat Fitzgerald, who took over the program in December 2025, has already officially named redshirt sophomore Alessio Milivojevic as the starting quarterback for the 2026 season. Milivojevic made four starts late last year, throwing for 986 yards, seven touchdowns, and two interceptions while completing over 65% of his passes.
It is a really smart, proactive move by Fitzgerald to avoid a prolonged position battle, especially with the previous starter, Aiden Childs, transferring out to Northwestern. Naming Milivojevic now lets the entire team focus on installing offensive coordinator Nick Sheridan's new system without any drama. The pressure is definitely on the young quarterback, but having that clarity before summer camp is a huge luxury for a program undergoing such a massive reset.
That is going to do it for today's episode. There are a lot of moving parts in Detroit sports right now, from the Tigers trying to fix their incredibly shaky fundamentals to the Pistons pondering a massive, potentially franchise-altering blockbuster trade.
We will definitely be keeping a close eye on that Jack Flaherty walk rate in his next few starts, and of course, seeing if the Pistons actually pull the trigger on that Michael Porter Jr. deal as the offseason heats up.
Thanks for tuning in. As always, make sure you are subscribed to the feed, and we will catch you next time.